third chapter of the Epistle to the Philippians. And verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. That was it. This word was running through one's mind at the beginning of our evening meeting, but I didn't feel free at all to get up with it till our brother spoke that word from the Song of Solomon, and it was that middle thought that he brought before us, draw me, that brought me to my feet, I trust, at the right time with a word from the Lord to encourage us in that path of which our brother has been speaking, Christ our objective, and counting all things but loss that we might reach him and be found in him in perfection and in practical conduct in this world with Christ as the object before our souls. I think we have often heard about this epistle that the Philippian is a practical Ephesian. And I think in comparing the epistles, one will find that statement to be correct. Christ our life, as we've oftentimes heard in the first chapter. Christ our example in the second. Christ our objective in the third. And Christ our strength in the fourth. And it's Christ as our objective then, as our brother has brought before us so simply from the epistle to the Colossians, I would like just as simply to pass on this encouraging passage from the apostle himself about himself, writing no doubt with a view to encouraging others to be marked by the self-same desire with the self-same object, Christ before his soul as a prize to be attained. That's what always strikes me about this chapter. While we thank God for sovereign grace, sovereign mercy in which wherein we were born of God, sovereign grace to give us faith as born of God to believe the gospel, grace that gave us the Spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And yet while thanking God for all these three things, ever remembering there is a price to be attained, and as those who belong to him in this world, in that pathway, that halfway affair, striving in the power of the Spirit, in the life that we have, and in nature capable of moving in these things, that we may ever keep him as the objective before our soul, a prize to be attained. And so we began reading in verse 7. The apostle looking on his past life as a Pharisee, the perfection he had tried to work out for himself by the law. No doubt we might have said, so far as religious attainment was concerned, if ever a man had reached the top of the tree, this was the man. And yet now in this new light, this new power in Christianity and the pathway of faith, looking back on all that he had attained to by his own efforts in Judaism, what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. I'm going to suggest simply, beloved, that's where in measure we all started. The very fact that we turned to the Lord, turned to him as Savior, quite prepared to turn our back upon this world, thankful when at last, having heard the glad tidings and in faith accepted Christ as our Savior, we've left the world and all as it were behind us, and as we started in that pathway, counted lost for Christ. I don't know what it meant for you giving up when you were converted. I know what it meant for me giving up when I was converted. The little attractions of this world and all that was there, and thought then compared with full salvation, not worth going on with any longer, lost so far as that was concerned, gained so far as this was concerned, the forgiveness of sins, the salvation of God, the clear conscience of being right with God, knowing that the end of the path would be glory with Christ above. And starting in the path within, lost behind, gain on before, here we are, I trust, in that pathway, following the Lord. But have we not often heard again from verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost. I think verse 7 is in the past tense. Verse 8 is in the present tense. May I ask you tonight, as I of course need to ask myself, are you as keen tonight as you were when you were first converted? Give up this, give up that, let it all go. I ask you again, beloved saints, are you just as keen now as you were when you started in that pathway of faith? Think of this man in all that he suffered, the persecution, the imprisonment and all that marked him. And as he looked over that path, he's practically saying, I began counting the thing lost, I'm still counting it lost, because he still, of course, had before his soul, as this objective, Christ himself in the glory. Oh, beloved, I ask you tonight, are you slipping in any way? I say again, as I ask myself, am I as keen as I was when I started? Do I still want to devote myself to the Lord's interest in this world? I'm just as keen to be following him tonight as I was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, 60 probably, with some of us, in this wonderful pathway of faith. And hence he reassesses that. Doubtless, I'm still counting. I think I'm safe in putting that in. Still counting all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I suppose at some time in your life, you've been in some sort of a contest, school games and that, where we first learned these things, and as we've grown up, perhaps something wider and greater to go in for, a prize to be won. And in that very category he speaks here, the greatest of all prizes, I think we are safe in saying, not only that I may thank God for his grace, thank Christ for dying for me, but I'm striving that there's a prize to be won, that I may win Christ. Oh, beloved, don't let's be lazy in our Christianity. There's a race here, there's a contest here. Those that strive for mastery, said Paul to the Corinthians, one obtains the prize, so run. that you might obtain. Striving with that end in view, then, Christ to be won, and all well knowing every moment that we spend in his service in this world will have an answer in reward in the world to come. Still striving, still going on, that I may win Christ. And at the end, he says, be found in him. No longer poor Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, but Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, at the end, in this wonderful transformation, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith, the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is of faith. Quite assured then to stand in that day, if he was going to stand and accept them in the presence of God, it could not be by fleshly attainment, so far as the law was concerned, but having been put right from the very start, and having bowed to Jesus, as we know in that wonderful conversion, knowing that at the end he would stand there, on the ground of what Christ has done, right with God, right eternally, in relation to that work that had set him at rights with God eternally, not having mine own righteousness, which is by the law, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. And it is this verse that strikes me so heavily in this chapter. Long since we heard an explanation of it that I'm going to pass on to you. The first statement, that I may know him. Need I emphasize that if ever there was a man in this world desirous of knowing all that he could know of Christ, this was the man. I'm not going to say, beloved, he was the only one. No, no, not by any means. But we certainly have the record of this one. And again, I say, if ever there was a man in this world, looked at that with Christ as again, and desired to know him more and more, surely it's this very man who wrote this letter, the Apostle Paul. And so keen was he of knowing him, he speaks again of three things, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This, as I tell you, was the explanation I heard of this verse many years ago. That this man was so desirous of knowing Christ that he wanted to live as Christ lived. He wanted to die as Christ died, that he might be raised as Christ was raised and know perfectly, experimentally, the steps along which the Lord himself had moved. You probably desire, as I would desire, a peaceful death, not bothering anybody. No, says Paul, I want to die for the testimony because Christ died for the testimony. I want to suffer for the testimony because he suffered for the testimony. And because he was raised as one who gave his life in the testimony, I want to be raised as one who gave his life in the testimony. I don't know how that appeals to you, but the first time I heard that, I thought that's the explanation of that verse. Wanting to know him then, not doctrinally. Oh, yes, he knew him by doctrine, all right, the great apostle. I want to know him experimentally, to suffer as he suffered, die as he died, to be raised as he was raised, that I might perfectly know Christ step by step, till I meet him, as it were, in the glory. That I may know him then, the outstanding mark in this letter. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Was he afraid that he wouldn't be raised with the righteous? No, beloved. But he said, I don't only want to be raised, you know, because in the power and the grace of Christ he will raise me from the dead. I want to attain to it, be worthy of it. I think that's the point that he had in view. Oh, for an exercise like this, not only to receive things on the ground of grace only, thank God we do receive them on the ground and free gratis from God himself, but to be worthy of them and to show God we do appreciate them by striving in relation to them to the utmost of our spiritual ability to attain unto the resurrection out from among the dead, knowing full well that at the coming of the Lord he would come out, but to come out as a victor, and one, as it were, who deserved to come out because of the pathway along which he had moved in service for the Lord. I just stepped down these step by step, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. Probably if we'd seen Paul in those days, we'd have said, well, if ever a man was ready to go to heaven and deserved to go to heaven, surely that was that man. But speaking of himself, you see, no, he says, I haven't quite reached it. And I don't think he thought he reached it till he faced a martyr's death. Not that I have already attained, nor will already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. May I ask you again, beloved saint of God, have you settled in your mind yet just why the Lord Jesus Christ took you up? Have you apprehended that for which you have been apprehended by Christ Jesus? Have we not been reminded in these meetings more than once that in these divine things it isn't only what I have secured in them from my side in moving into them, but the interest in divine persons in bringing me into them? That's ever a great encouragement in that path. That God valued you sufficiently to call you. Christ valued you sufficiently to die for you. And if divine persons thought that about you, surely, beloved, it becomes us, does it not, to show that we value this wonderful interest they've shown in us, that we might attain to these things, strive unto these things, and may say, as he said, not that I have already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that, from which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I'd have said, as maybe you would have said, well, if ever there was a man that found that out, surely the call of the Apostle Paul in itself was enough to show what the interest the Lord had in him in bringing him into this. Yes, said Paul, but this is my interest in it too. I'm still steadfastly going on, learning more and more, and will learn more and more, till at the end of this pathway, as it were, I quote, of course, from other places, I'll be with him, and like him, forever, that I might apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And here we're coming back pretty much to what we spoke about this afternoon, forgetting those things which are behind. Is that true now? Forgetting those things which are behind. Do we still hanker after them? Ever wish we were back into them? Sorry at times we ever left them. Well, beloved, it certainly didn't mark this man. And do you think if my mind is on that goal, as it ought to be, and Christ is the prize I'm seeking to attain, that ever I think of the miserable things I once went on with before in his infinite grace he met me and blessed me? No, thank God for getting us out of this miserable world. We've often mentioned, I think, of a sister down on the fork, crossing the last ferry after visiting a sick aunt, never been out in such a night, about 11 o'clock, I think it was, a drunken crowd dancing down below, and she getting near the skipper, just a bit afraid, she'd never seen company like that. She told me this herself. She says, for the first time in my life, I realized the salvation of God. I'd never known it before. Thank God I don't belong to that crowd. Why do we want to go to a crowd like that, beloved? No, forgetting the things which are behind. Pressing on to that which is before, I follow after, reaching forth, rather, unto those things which are before. Oh, let us keep our mind upon the goal, not hankering after this miserable world or all that we knew in that world, but with the mind firmly established, firmly set upon the prize, let us imitate this man as he's writing to these Philippians, that we also might be found devotedly in a pathway like this, in service for our Lord Jesus Christ in this world, if that I might attain that for which I have been apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, I went down to verse 13, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling of God, I think it is, on high in Christ Jesus. We might have thought, you know, by reading this, that this man wasn't sure of his salvation, thought he had to make it sure for himself. No, if ever a man was sure of it, surely the Apostle Paul was. Well, what does he mean by terms like this? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, I must turn to another place to where I think we get an explanation of it. You remember in writing, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. I ask you, beloved friend, does that ever occupy your mind? How many marks will you have on the good side? And how many sad things will we have to face on the bad side? Do you ever weigh up the path like that? And the prize at the end? And there is a prize at the end. You remember the parable from the lips of our Lord himself. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We were dealing with that a little in one of our readings in Kilkeel, I think. And I just happened to say, just mark the terms, brethren. It doesn't say, well done, thou good and gifted servant. No, no. Well done, I may say, well, I haven't got much gift, but thank God I can be faithful. You know the little hymn we learned in the Sunday school, you in your small corner, and I in mine. It's faithfulness he's going to reward. If he's put you in St. Octave, put some of us in other places in England, let us be sure of this, beloved. He's put us there because that's the best place where we can serve him. And all that we do to our credit, at least in doing for him, will be put to our credit when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body. It's the prize then he was after, pressed toward the mark for the prize of the calling of God on high in Christ Jesus. Again, I say not that he had any doubts about it, but he wanted to have a good mark when he got there, as one that had been called and proved himself worthy of that calling and his service for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Now, just another word or two, and I think I'm finished. Let us there, for as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Can I ask you again, beloved saint of God, are you minded like this in the things of God? Again, I say, I ask myself, I'm bound to do continually. Have you a mind like this? Is this the way you serve the Lord in this world? Can you say, yes, thank God, I am thus minded. I desire those selfsame things myself. I'm not an apostle nor you. I may not be gifted no more than you. But it's not gift that is here, beloved. It's faithfulness for the Lord. Is your mind then definitely set on that pathway in which the Lord has set your feet, set to go on for him, in service for him, with his glory and that prize at the end when we meet him at the judgment seat? Let as many as be perfect, full grown, I think this word is, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I'll tell you one thing that one has appreciated over the years in these meetings. Very often after them, weeks, months sometimes after them, we've met somebody that said, you know, I got a word in that meeting. I'd been doing so-and-so and going on with so-and-so, and I saw in that meeting what a hindrance was, and since that meeting, I've given it up. And I think that's the gain we get in coming together like this. Let as many as be otherwise, if you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Has he been speaking to you this week in the readings? Has something been said that perhaps nobody knew, not the man that said it, knew nothing at all about, but you felt the Lord was speaking that for you? Why, we don't take these things from each other, do we? Of course we don't. But let us take things from the Lord, though it may come from each other. And if he has been speaking to us in any way about being otherwise minded, if we have been getting a little slack, have we not been as faithful as we ought to be, or as definite as we ought to be, striving toward that mark? Why not, if the Lord has spoken to us, take this word from himself and seek grace from him to go on in that path, If we be otherwise minded, God will even show this unto you. But if we have learned anything this week, revealed unto us by God himself, let us accept it not from the brother who said it, but as from the Lord, to encourage us in this path, to go on for himself. And lastly then, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained. You may say, well, I'm a long way short of full growth. Don't talk to me about perfection, I'm afraid I'm a long way back. Never mind, beloved saint of God, you're in the circle as well as anybody who may think they're perfect. I'm so sorry for the man who constantly thinks of that. I'm afraid he's far short of the thing. You'll not get a man that's perfect telling you about his perfection. No, no. His ideas may be right as for serving the Lord, but you ask him if you think he's reached perfection, and if he says yes, you can be assured he's not getting on very well in this pathway. And if any be otherwise minded, then what we have already attained to. Why, there was a day when I came to meetings like this, I'd only been converted a few weeks, a few months. Couldn't expect me to know what the brethren who are ministering you. There may be somebody like that today. Don't think, beloved friend, if you're not up as you think, to the standard of the teaching in the meetings, that this doesn't apply to you. Yes, thank God it applies to every one of us. As many as be thus minded, nevertheless whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. The Lord help us then to listen to the exhortation of this man, a man, as we've said, that wanted to suffer as Christ suffered, to die as Christ died, to be raised as Christ was raised, and the desire of our hearts may be to pursue this path and the grace that the Lord himself can give us at the end, that we may attain to when we meet him up there. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.